Thank you very much. We want to thank God for those that have come to be a blessing to us since in the morning. We are grateful to God. Thank you very much for bringing in the word. And also allow me to appreciate Dr. Harry, Auntie Leticia, and the team for inviting us to come and be part of this. It takes obedience. Amen. So we honor that obedience. We thank God for that. If we are going to be doing this the way God wants, then there have to be some people who are obedient to God. You know, so we appreciate that. And allow me to start where I left yesterday evening. Amen. I would want Brian to read for us from the Passion Translation of the Bible. Again, Matthew 8, verse 8 and 9.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. But the Roman officer interjected, Lord, who am I to have you come into my house? I understand your authority, for I too am a man who walks under authority and have authority over soldiers who serve under me. I can tell one to go and he will go, and another to come and he will come. I order my servants and they'll do whatever I ask. So I know that all you need to do is to stand here and command healing over my son, and he will be instantly healed.
Amen. So, quickly, if you are jotting things down, yesterday I introduced that authority works with understanding. Okay? You have to understand the dynamics of authority. And God gives you the spirit of wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay? Spiritual understanding is beyond natural understanding, because you are being aided by the Spirit of God to understand how things in the kingdom of God work. Okay? So this man is not just talking of what he understands. Remember, Jesus at one point did ask his disciples, who do men think that I am? And they gave some responses of what people say. And then he says, you, who do you think that I am? Okay? And there was silence. And then Peter rose up and he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this thing to you. Are you listening to me? There are certain things that are not revealed to us by flesh and blood. It is not the work of our mental faculties, but it is when the Holy Spirit puts light in your heart and you begin to understand certain dynamics of how things happen in the Spirit of God. So, this man is in that place. But I want to come to the crux of my matter as we look at this man. This man says, I am a man under authority. Okay? I am a man under authority. Which means, I am a man who is fully submitted. Okay? I'm fully submitted to the Roman government. Okay? Because of that, they have also entrusted me with people that serve under me. I want to say to us today, there is no way we can come to the fullness of operating in the authority of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven, until we come to a place of total surrender. Total surrender. One of the men that revolutionized my life when I had just come to the Lord was Reinhard Bonnke. You'll find many times I will refer to him. Okay? So one time, he's giving an illustration of total surrender. He's preaching, not from the text that I just read, but he's helping people understand what is required for them to come to Jesus Christ. So he says, this man had a double-story building. And on the ground floor, there were 5 rooms. On the upper one, there were 5 rooms. Okay? And so, every evening, the devil would come and trouble him in his house. So somebody told him the other day, the Son of Man, he has no way to put his head. So he decided to invite the Son of Man. So he invited Jesus. And Jesus came. And he says, Jesus, I have heard that you don't have anywhere to put your head. You have no house. I'm offering you 1 room. In my place, you can come and live here. Jesus says, okay, that's fine. Whatever you offer him, he takes. That's Jesus. He took the 1 room. Jesus is in his room. In the middle of the night, the devil comes. And he wreaks havoc with this man. The next morning, he comes to Jesus, furious, and he says, You have nowhere to stay. I give you a room in my house, and you cannot defend me against the devil. And Jesus says, but in my room, I never saw the devil. There was no Satan in my room. What are you talking about? I never saw him. He says, okay, I understand. So what is going to happen? I'm going to give you the 5 at the bottom, and I take the 5 up. And Jesus says, that's okay. In the evening, they are sleeping. The devil comes through the window in the upstairs and wreaks havoc. He comes in the morning and he says, I don't understand. I gave you half. And still you are not pleased. What can I do with you, Jesus? And then he says, okay. The fair deal. I give you 9 and I keep 1. Jesus says, that's fine. Even the devil comes in that one. And there is trouble. He wakes up in the morning, he says, I'm undone because I don't know what you want. I give you 9 out of 10 and still you cannot defend me. And then Jesus says, no. How about you give me all the 10? But here's one condition. You give me all the 10, but you have access to all of them. But I am in charge now. And the man says, okay. And in the evening, the devil comes and he bangs at the door. Boom, 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 boom. Says, and the man is shivering. And he says, no, don't worry. You are to rush to the door. Jesus says, no. I'm now in charge. Let me open the door. He gets to this door and he flashes it all open. And the moment the devil sees Jesus, he's on his knees. For every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you are the Lord. and the man, he had peace. I am talking of total surrender. Every aspect of your life needs to be surrendered to Jesus. If you are going to operate in the authority of the kingdom of heaven. I understand your authority. That's what the centurion says. Nothing of you and all of God. That's how it works. It's not part of you and part of God. Are you listening to me? So when it comes to these issues, we need to surrender. What we lack in the body of Jesus Christ are people who are totally surrendered. We still run other aspects of our lives. They are not submitted to Jesus Christ. There are still areas of our life where Jesus is not Lord. He is not Lord. And, you know, the Bible says, when it comes to salvation, what does the word say? It is near you. It is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess that Jesus is Lord, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That Jesus is Lord. Is he Lord of every area of your life? Is he ruling your finances? Or is he still in charge? And you come to me and you say, man of God, pray for my finances. How do we even pray when you have not allowed Jesus to have the lordship of your finances? You are still the Lord of your finances, and when your finances misbehave, don't complain. Come on now. What is that area of your life which you have not totally surrendered to Jesus? You don't need anyone in that area. And I know a lot of us have what we call private areas of our lives. Very private. Anyone who wants to question you about anything in that private part of your life, then they become your enemy. Then you are no longer interested. And I have news for you. In that private area of your life, that's where the devil comes and messes with your life. We need to surrender totally, completely. You know, every time and again, I've discovered that the Lord still continues to work in my life, in areas of my life, because He wants complete surrender. Amen. This is how Jesus was able to serve the Father. This is why He would say, all authority is given unto me. How was He able to do that? He came to a place where He went into the garden and began to pray. And the Bible says He prayed until the sweat from His body looked like drops of blood. Why? Because He needed to surrender His will to the will of the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. He had a desire. He said to the Father, I wish if this cup may pass, but not my will, but your will be done. You see why this world of ours is still in trouble, even up to today? Because we have not mastered total surrender. Somebody comes to church, they have got an Africana background. They still want to maintain Africana culture. And Jesus is saying, surrender everything and pick up kingdom culture. And I come with my African culture, and I want things done my way because I'm used to my culture. Listen to me. That doesn't work in the kingdom of God. There is no African culture. There is kingdom culture. We surrender completely unto the Lord. We surrender completely unto the Lord. And these are the people that the Lord is ready to use. Because if you are not totally surrendered, your humanity is going to manifest in an area where it's not called for. And it will mess up with people. I realize people like Peter had issues. And thank God for Brother Paul. Because Paul realized that when there are the two of them, Paul and Peter, with the heathens, Peter eats with the heathens. But the moment some Jews come in, Peter separates himself from the heathens. And Paul says, what's happening here? What you are doing is not right. This is hypocrisy. One of the things that I have come to detest and hate is hypocrisy. People who act what they are not. And so much of it is in the church. We are not totally surrendered. And no offense, Peter fixed that. Are you listening to me? Yes, he fixed that because he was confronted. And he fixed that. This is why he recommends Paul. And he says, like some of the things that our brother Paul writes about. You know? Which, if you are not strong, they will cause you to stumble. So he knew this man dealt with the real life situations because of the encounter he had with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was bent on his way to Damascus, and he wants to do what he wants to do with the Christians, the Lord meets him and tells him, you cannot kick against the God. And he realizes, and from down there he says, Lord, what will you have me do? What will you have me do? And from that day, he went to Damascus. He was ministered to after 3 days. And something like scales fell off his eyes. And he was saved. And from that day, he lived a life that was completely surrendered to Jesus. He never pursued his will. He never pursued his heart desire, but his will was to do the will of the one who has sent him. What is it that is between us and fulfilling the mission that God has given to us? It's surrender. Because somehow we need to do our own things. We want to go our own ways. Hello? Have you ever checked the lifestyle of the guys in the early church and our lifestyles? Huh? Have you ever checked? Read the book of Acts from chapter 1 right through to maybe chapter 5. Where they are talking about how these people live their lives. They will tell you daily. Are you listening to me? Daily. In houses and in the temple they met. If we have church daily, how many are going to stand that? Huh? But we can go to the mall daily. But if it's church, then it's too much. Huh? How does that work? Help me out. I don't understand how that works. For where a man's treasure is, that's where you find his heart. So some of you, your heart is at the mall. Are you listening to me? I'm coming close home now. Where your surrender? We take a test case and see where are you surrendered to? Are you surrendered to the Lord or you are surrendered to the systems of this world? Some of you cannot watch and pray for an hour, but you can watch movies for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 hours. The other day, we had to deliver another boy in Stuttgart, Germany, who was addicted to watching television. 19 hours on the television. Here we are with all the privileges that the Lord has given to us. We can access every version of the Bible from our phones. But we cannot even read a verse of the Bible. When last did you open your Bible on your own and begin to read? When last did you do that? When last did you pray for an hour? Even in this house, if I say, let us stand up, let us begin to pray. Some, they just go around for 1 minute and they are out. Nothing to say. Back home, we call it the pup's prayer. Huh? You know the prayer that we do when we want to eat. Because we are hungry. God bless the food to our bodies. Our bodies to you for service. Amen. And we are eating the food. That is the kind of prayer. That is the kind of prayer. Where is our heart? How often do you read your Bible? Hallelujah. Amen. Tell somebody total surrender. Tell somebody total surrender. Jesus Christ wants his hand on everything that concerns you. Are you listening to me? Look at the CV that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives us of Job. He says there was a righteous man. And he says, and he tells you who feared God, eschewed evil, and it says everything. Even when the devil came to God to complain. He says, does Job fear you for nothing? Because look, behold, your hand is everywhere. You have protected, you have put a hedge of everything that pertains to him, upon his children, upon his treasure, upon his body, everything. Just take off your hand so that I can check it to him. So there is the hand of God upon everything that pertains to you. I have news for you. Every area of your body upon whom God's hand is not at, then you are in trouble. That is the area where the devil is going to give you a lot of hard times. You don't live with your children. the devil is going to mess up with them. Some of you cannot tell your children to do the proper thing. Listen to me. I follow the Bible. I don't follow American culture. How dare you come to church and leave your children back home? And when the devil messes up with them, you are coming to us for prayer. When you told them church is not important, you can go to where you want, and church is for the old people. And the Bible says mischief is in the heart of every child. But the word of correction will take it out. Mischief, the Bible doesn't say, call the name of Jesus for mischief. It says, take a word of correction. Come on now. Come on now. I'm not teaching American culture. I'm teaching God's word. We must understand what the word of God says. Mischief is in the heart of a child, and the word of correction. And the Bible again, if you say you want to make one doctrine with one scripture, I can give you another one. Spoil the word and spoil the child. Hey, I can have holy anger and begin to ask you, all you that are seated here, husband and wife, where are your children now? Where are they? Busy entertaining the devil where they are, and you are here hearing the word of God. Show them that this is important. Register them for the conference. If it's being paid for, pay so that they may know that this thing is important. Total surrender. Tell somebody total surrender. Are you listening to me? One day a man stands before Pharaoh and Pharaoh says, where of you are going? Let your children and your cattle remain, because I see evil there. And Moses looks at him and he says, Pharaoh, us, our children, and our livestock, even our hoofs of those that are dead, we are killing, because God may demand an offering for them. If you have left the hoofs of both the dead ones and God says, this is what I want for an offering, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Total surrender. Total surrender. You want revival to come to Polokwane, and yet you have not decided for your household. Huh? Where did the English say charity begins at home? You see, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain, those that build it. And then it goes, unless the Lord takes care of the city, which means the house, you know, makes a good community. And a good community makes a good city. Hallelujah. But then here we are. God help us. Well, revival must begin in your household. Listen, kingdom of God in your house. This is why Jesus says, when you pray, say, may your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How are you going to manifest the kingdom of heaven in the marketplace when it has not manifested in your house? Huh? How are you going to do it? You tell me. I think this afternoon I'm going to need some people to repent. Your parenting needs repentance. How have you parented your children? What values have you inculcated in them? Even when I'm not home and it's conference, my wife makes sure every single one of our children is at the conference. Because that is the rule of the house. And you want them women to be submitted to you if you have nothing. They cannot submit to nothing. Are you listening to me? She knows if even if I'm not there, it's time for the... Then every child has got to go to the conference. That's it. Since they are young, they know this is how it is done. And it's now part of their lives. If they don't go for a conference, they fight with us. Why are you leaving us behind? Hello? Are we together, people of God? How many are ready to repent and pray? Hallelujah. Let me tell you, if you want to see a move of God, for every move of God, there has been a season of repentance before. So we need to go before God. We repent, and then we are going to impart. We are going to activate. This thing God told me, there are many in here whose fires have gone down. And we want to fan those fires, that once again you can burn with the passion for the things of God. What Pastor Lucky was talking about, it can be a story if we are not fired up. You can never take the gospel out there if the fire of God is if the fire of God is not in your bones. You can only do that if you are fired up. If you are saying, you know, I wanted to talk about how by grace we begin to rule, but time is not allowing me to do that, because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, He has made us kings and priests so that we can rule on the earth. Hello? Do you want to read that one first, Brian? I'm not going to teach about it, but I just want us to read that. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, and then we are going to go, and we are coming to a place where we pray.
Verse
10.
You have chosen us to serve God and formed us into a kingdom of priests who reign on the earth.
Who
reign on the earth.
I want you to repeat again.
Who reign on the earth.
Repeat it again.
Who reign on the earth.
Are you listening to me? This is not past tense.
Amen.
Those who reign.
Reign.
It's not saying those who reign. Even in the Greek origin, it's in the present tense. those who reign on earth. So we want to stand up and go before God. And this is how we are going to do it. If you are saying, Lord, let the embers be fanned. I need the fire of God to burn again in my life. I want you to walk and you do your repentance in front here. You don't have to wait for somebody. You want the fires to burn again. You want fresh fire from heaven. You are saying, I need fresh fire. I need to burn again with the passion for the things of God. I want to burn again, Lord. Jeremiah said, you know, I understand there are things that can, you know, mess us up and we get bitter, we get, you know, things happen and we think, no, I don't want anymore to serve in the house of God because people have hated you. Now listen to me. Whatever we do in the house of God, we do it as unto the Lord. We are doing it for God. And we will not allow that to cause your heart to grow cold. Remember, the Bible says in these last days, the love of men will grow cold. And we don't want to be part of that. We do not want to fulfill that side of the prophecy. But we want to be part of those whom the Bible says, and the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Thank you, Jesus. Right, I want you to begin to talk to God. You know those areas that are not fully surrendered of your life, which you want to dedicate again to the Lord. You are dedicating, you are repenting to the Lord, you are saying, Lord, forgive me in the way that I have raised my children, in the way that I have run my finances, in the way that I have run my life, in the way, you know every area of your life, and you are saying, Lord, forgive me, and I am bringing it all to you, Jesus Christ, I am bringing it all to you. Let us pray, let us pray, let us pray. Yes, Lord. Help us. Help us. Father, prayerlessness. Father, we repent of prayerlessness. You know your life. You are no longer praying like you used to do. Repent from prayerlessness. Repent from not reading the Bible. You know, you repent. You want God to put that desire for the Word of God back again into you. In the name of Jesus, that you can have a burning desire for the Word of God. That you can have a burning desire for the things of God. You do not want to be one who is being pushed to do God's work. You are not going to be the one that is pushed, but you are saying, Lord, forgive me. And as you are standing there, as you ask for forgiveness, I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me. I need fresh fire from above. You have promised us fresh fire. Fresh fire. Touch me again with a live coal from your altar that I can burn again. With a desire. We need to be like Clopas and his friend, who says, why didn't our hearts, you know, feel it, and that this man is not ordinary that we are talking to. You know, and that very day when Jesus revealed himself to them, that same day, remember they had left Jerusalem going to Emmaus. They had given up and said, no, we've trusted him and he's dead now. And we better go back home. But that same night they never slept in the house. They returned back to Jerusalem. Why? Because fresh fire had come into their hearts. And I declare and decree right now, by the authority of the kingdom of heaven, that fresh fire is coming upon your life. That fresh fire is hitting your life again. Fresh fire. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are calling upon the fire of the Lord. Let the fresh fire come upon, oh Father, your servants in the mighty name of Jesus.